What's up, Planet Shakers? Welcome back for another week. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. Today I'm going to be sharing around the thought, this is not that. What if things that you were going through in life were not the way you were viewing them? What if they were in fact entirely different to what you thought they were? Check this out. I think it's going to encourage you today. There's some incredible things going on at the moment. You know, just last term in Planet Boom, we had the most amount of decisions for Christ in our teenagers than we've ever had in any term of Boom. It's amazing. Over 880 teenagers in one term. But let me ask you this. Who knows that there's more to come in still this term? You know, in just one weekend, a few weeks ago, we had 497 people in our church give their hearts to Christ. I think that's amazing, but who knows that there's more to come in? On September the 16th, in fact, we want to see 1,000 people. You know, Pastor Rowena shared with me that in our university ministry, our O week that we had this semester was larger, entirely larger than the one we had in summer just 18 months ago. I think that's pretty amazing how many students are coming into our church, how many great things God is doing. But I also know that there is so much more that God has for us. Come on, because the declaration this year is supernatural increase. So whatever it is that you may be seeing right now, I know that God's got an increase of that He wants to bring. There's a greater measure that He has for us to step into. Whatever it is that you may be seeing right now, come on, let me stir you. We serve a God for whom nothing is impossible. That He is the one that can do far over and above more than we dare ask, hope, or think, or imagine. That's our God. Come on, somebody. Look at your friend, look at your neighbor next to you and say, come on, it's time to take your faith to another level. And I want to talk to us tonight. I believe that there is a great harvest that God has, that there is a great, there's a great outpouring that God wants to take place in our life. There's a great growth that God wants to step us into. And I want to talk to you tonight out of Luke chapter number 6 off the top of my head. Yes. Luke chapter number 6 and Psalm 92. I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter number 6. It says this. Just kept going either side. You know, I just felt encouraged recently to use my real Bible. I have a Bible on my phone and I have a Bible on my iPad and I have no issues with those Bibles. Those Bibles are good too because they're the same ones. But I think some of us, maybe if that's the only one we ever open, you know, some of us, maybe we wouldn't know where to find the book of James and the book of Judges. We wouldn't know if one's in the Old Testament, one's in the New Testament, because maybe that's the only one we've experienced in quite a while and we've forgotten what one of these feels like. But I remember someone preaching when I was a teenager, they said on the stage, they said, dirty Bible, clean life. Clean Bible, dirty life. And so just in case you've forgotten what one of these looks like and feels like, and Luke chapter number 6:43, these words are in red, by the way. That doesn't mean they ran out of black ink. That just means Jesus said these words. And so we're going to have them on the screen. If you didn't bring your real Bible, they're not in red on the screen. That's all right. I promise you they're in red in the Bible. Are you ready? Let me encourage you. Open your Bible tomorrow. You can use the one on your phone. There's nothing wrong with that. But Luke 6:43. It says a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. A bad tree cannot produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. But an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. How about that for an encouragement? Let's keep going. Verse 46. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? It's Jesus talking. He's not messing around. He said, I'll show you what it's like when someone comes to me and listens to my teaching and then follows it. It's like a person who builds a house and digs deep. Somebody say digs deep. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays a foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise, and they will, and break against that house, it still stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and obeys, and does not obey, is like a person who builds a house with no foundation. when the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. Come on, we've got to dig deep. We've got to dig deep. I want to read to you one more scripture. It's out of Psalm 92. This is in a different version, so I got it here on my iPad. It's going to be on the screen. It says, the righteous, they flourish like a palm tree, and they grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted. Somebody say planted. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. Come on, somebody. They are ever full of sap and green. Tonight, I want to speak to us around the thought, this is not that. This is not that. God, we thank you for your presence tonight. We thank you for your power tonight. We thank you that you have ordained tonight for your word to change our life. God, do what you want. Do what you will. Do what only you can do. Come and change our hearts. Change our minds. God, I pray right now for every person in this room that is in the midst of a trial or a tragedy. I pray for every person who might have found themselves in this room tonight and they're far away from you. God, I thank you that they're here. And God, I know that in your presence, they are going to sense your love, your touch. God, I thank you for every person in this room that as we walk out of these doors in just a few minutes, God, that we're going to walk out changed. Changed by your presence and your power. Come on, somebody with faith, shout a good amen. Amen, amen. This is not that. This is not that. You know, we have seen some amazing things this year. Last year, double portion, phenomenal. This year, the first few months, the supernatural increase, amazing. But I know there's more. And to be honest, no matter what the word over our church this year was, I know there's more simply because that is the character of God. God is a God who wants to take us from glory to glory, from strength to strength. That is His nature. Thank God, by the way, that we're in a church where we're not just believing to have a year of some increase. God, I pray that we just have a year of marginal increase. How boring that would be. God, I pray that by the end of this year, we're no smaller, but maybe you'll bless us with enough money to fix the holes in the wall. That's the vision for the year. A year of replenished walls. What a boring church that would be to be in. Oh, I'm glad that we've got a church with great vision. By the way, that reflects God's nature. If we have holes in the wall, we'll fix them along the way. But God wants to increase you. Did you know that? God wants to increase us. But I think as well, there has been some amazing things going on in church, in our services, and people being saved and in O Week and in our teenage ministry and in our kids' ministry. Everywhere we look, there are some amazing things that we can see. But to believe for more and to press in for more sometimes can take discipline when we're surrounded by blessing. I came to a revelation a few years ago, and it took me a number of years of praying and of being a Christian, but I came to a point where I realized I actually always love having a need in life. I don't ever want to get to a point where I don't need anything, because that means that I've run out of vision. And if I've run out of vision, it means I've disconnected from God, because He never runs out of vision. I never want to get to a place where I just don't need anything from God, that I'm not believing for something, that I'm not believing for God to take us somewhere. Come on, somebody. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning, not just every year. Every morning, there is more that God has for us to step into. But it's only possible with vision to believe for more. I was praying through something the other day, because I'd been hurt by a certain situation in life, and there was a particular incident that happened, and I was hurt by it. And I picked that up in my heart, and I knew how this goes. I get myself in the presence of God, and I begin to complain, and I begin to explain to God how I've been wronged and how I've been hurt. And if I explain long enough and complain long enough, eventually God will see things from my perspective, tell me how wronged I was, and He'll fix it all for me. It never happens. But I get myself in God's presence and I do a healthy amount of complaining, and then he seems to ignore that, and he says, you just need to forgive anyway. And I'm like, okay, fine, no worries. And so I was going through this particular thing, and I was upset. I felt like I'd been wronged, and I got myself in the presence of God, and just in case he wasn't aware of it, I made sure there was a good deal of complaining in his presence, and I was getting ready for him to challenge me and say, you need to go ahead and forgive anyway. But the challenge didn't come. The challenge didn't come this time. In fact, there was just a rebuke. And God said to me, he goes, you were never wronged. I said, excuse me? He said, you were never wronged. And I'm like, surely you're getting this incorrect, God. He goes, the situation that happened was never about you. Think about what that person went through. Think about what they were dealing with. Think about the turmoil that was going on in their life. That situation was actually never about you. And I thought, surely God's mistaken. Isn't every situation I pray about me? Because when I seem to pray, I'm always at the center of my prayers. I'm praying about my problems and what God can do for me. And if I'm feeling very holy, about what God will do through me. But understand that me is always part of the equation. And so I began to tell God, Lord, you need to be kind to me because it's the kindness of God that will lead me to repentance. He didn't listen to that either. And then I said to him, God, once upon a time when I was young, a preacher told me that if I was the only person on earth, Jesus still would have come to die for me. That's how important I am. Still didn't change God's mind. It seems I was not the center of this story. Now, don't look at me like I'm the only one that prays like this, by the way. But God began to encourage me and said, it wasn't about me. I had allowed myself to be hurt and to be upset by something that wasn't even about me. See, I'd viewed it as one thing, but really it was another thing entirely. This is not that. This is not that. If I was the center of every story, and if I was the only person that mattered, then maybe I could have made my argument to God that I was the one that was wronged. But, and I think we can all do that sometimes. And the problem is not that I really think I'm the only person that matters. If you think you're the only person that matters, we'll do an altar call for you at the end of the service. But I think we can all do this. And the problem is not that you think you're the only one. It's that our perspective is always from our point of view. We pray from our perspective. We view our lives from our perspectives, and we can carry our hurt from our perspective. Yes, when you were driving the other day, that person that cut you off on the road, what a jerk. They didn't see you there. They should have seen you there. How rude of them. How can they not understand that you were there? Absolutely. What a horrible person. But if you change your perspective and see that they were actually rushing to hospital to see their wife give birth to their firstborn, it changes everything. Yeah, sure, that person was rude to you on the phone the other day. They hung up on you. They said things they shouldn't have said. What a jerk. How could they ever talk to you like that? Sure, not a problem. But did you know they just lost their job and they're trying to work out how they're going to put the last meal on the table for their family? It changes perspectives. See, when we view things from a different perspective, we can begin to realize that sometimes the things we're going through in life, this is not that. Sometimes it's not always the way we view it as. Somebody say, this is not that. Sometimes we're viewing things as one thing, but they're another thing entirely. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that we all go through stuff in life. You're going through stuff. The person next to you is going through stuff. The one thing we all have in common is we're all going through stuff. At one time or another, there's always stuff going on. Now, we cannot compare our stuff with anyone else's stuff, but we all have stuff. There's always things going on in our life, but you know, with some of the things that we go through sometimes I think we can give the devil too much credit. We look at the things we've gone through. People have come to me before, like, that pastor, you got to pray for me. The devil made me fail last semester. I look at him, I'm like, mate, the devil didn't make you fail. You just didn't study. That was all on you. That's your fault. Other people, they come to me, they're like, Pastor, the devil made me lose my job. You have to pray and believe with me for another job. And I look at them and say, the devil didn't make you lose your job. When your boss paid you, he expected you to show up on time. And when you didn't show up, that's why you lost your job. That's your fault. Or how about this one? Pastor, I'm really sorry, you need to help us. I don't know what to do. The devil made us sleep together. That's the best one. I'm like, oh, really? Did he? My mate, the devil didn't make you sleep together. Devil didn't make sex. God made sex. God made it very enjoyable. But God also wanted you to learn just how much it was worth and just how much you're worth. And he wanted you to know how to control your appetite. That was all you. Come on, somebody. The devil didn't make you do those things. Don't give the devil that much credit. Now, I get it that the devil's nature is to steal and kill and destroy. So there are things that we go through in life where the enemy wants to come against us, but also understand that when you have Jesus in your life, the Bible says that he is the name above all names and that we are seated with him in heavenly places. If you're rolling around with what the devil wants to do in your life, it's because you've taken yourself out of your rightful place and you've gone to hang out with what he wants to do. Come on, somebody. You got all authority over him in Jesus' name. So there are things we go through. There's definitely stuff we go through. And demonic powers and principalities and rulers, and you know, Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. The devil wants to use situations we go through in life where maybe we think we are wronged, where maybe we think we've been hurt, where maybe the wrong thing happened to us or happened around us, whether it really did happen to us or whether it just happened in our vicinity. If the enemy can use those things to get into our life, the thing is, when the pressure of life can get past the surface and can penetrate our heart, then we can be open for the enemy to bring in bitterness and bring in insecurity and bring in disunity and bring in all manner of things. That's what he does. But often it can all come down to how we view what we're going through. Psalm 92, let me remind you. Somebody said, this is not that. Psalm 92, we read it just at the start. It said, the righteous flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now, we're not in Lebanon, and I have not driven around Melbourne and seen a cedar of Lebanon. But let me tell you about the cedars of Lebanon, literally and figuratively in the Bible. Literally, they are very strong trees. They are long living. Some of them live for 3,000 years. And the amazing thing about these trees is they are always green. Which speaks of the vitality they have and their life that they have, regardless of the season of the circumstance. And let me talk about the figurative use of cedars of Lebanon in the Bible. In the Passover, in the Old Testament, if you read your Bible, you're going to know what I'm talking about. They used to grab a stick of cedar and they used to put the blood of Jesus over their home. What does that tell us? If we are like cedars of Lebanon, then part of what we do is take the blood of Jesus to the world. We carry the power of Jesus everywhere we go. But also God instructed Solomon, he said, build the temple out of cedars of Lebanon. The temple houses the presence of God. That's what we're called to do. So cedars of Lebanon, let me put this picture up. A cedar of Lebanon flourishes no matter the environment. And these pictures here are so powerful to me because over here is a flourishing cedar of Lebanon in a healthy environment. Over here is a flourishing cedar of Lebanon in a barren environment. And what that tells you is it's not according to the environment that makes it strong. It's not strong because of its surroundings. Here you are. It flourishes regardless of its surroundings. And the reason these trees grow and flourish and are fruitful is because their roots go down deep. Which means no matter what is going on, it is pushing down and going higher. It is going deeper and it is reaching up. As it is growing larger here, it is also going deeper down here. That's the power of these trees. Let's go to that next picture. I had to put a picture up because you couldn't see it if I just did this. That's the right picture. I'm literally recreating that for you. If you zoomed in and in and in and in and in, you'd see that, but let's not do that. look at this thing. This is not that. When I look at a tree, I'm like, that's not a tree. This is round and seedy. See what I did there? Trees are big and branchy. This is round and tiny. This is not that. This is just a seed. This is insignificant, isn't it? A seed is not a tree. It can't be a tree, surely. And see, what God says in the Bible is, he doesn't say he'll magically turn you into a cedar or Lebanon. No, he says we will grow like a cedar or Lebanon. And here is the power of a seed. Stop it. Here is the power of this seed. If I put this seed down deep in here, in an environment of pressure, if I put this seed, surround it with mess, it's completely in the dark, and I bury it down deep, something actually begins to break out of that seed. And if I were that seed, if you were that seed, you are, by the way, but if you were that seed, you might have reason to complain. God, the pressure's too much. God says, this is not that. God, I'm surrounded by mess. God says, it's all good. This is not that. God, it's all dark. No one can see me. I can't see what's going on and where you're taking me. God says, it's all good. This is not that. God says, God, I'm covered by dirt though, God. I'm surrounded by mess. And God says, it's all good, friend. This is not that. In fact, let me be real with the 6 p.m. service. If I was to really make this healthy, I would maybe put a little bit of fertilizer in there. Crap. And you cover a seed with crap. And we can complain to God and say, God, life is crap. Covered by dirt. I can't see anything. I don't know where you're taking me. There's pressure, there's mess, there's darkness. And God says, friend, this is not bad. Son, this is not bad. Daughter, this is not bad. Don't you get focused on what you're just going through right now. The pressure is not just pressure. God is building a majestic cedar. The dirt is not your destiny. God is building something in you. The crap is not your identity. God is bringing something out of you. Your mess is not just a mess. Your trial is not just a trial. Come on, somebody. There's more going on than just what you can see. God wants to bring something out of you. Don't just get caught up with what you're going through right here. Get caught up in the Spirit with the vision of where God wants to take you. Come on, somebody, shout a praise if you know where God's taking you. Let me go to this last picture. This is my favorite one because I look at this and I say, this is not that. I look at what I'm going through and I'm like, this is not all that much. I compare what I'm going through with how great that person is and all the things that they're doing and how much success they're having. And I'm like, this is not that. I wish it was. But God says, no, you don't understand. See, I think this is that. But God says, this is not that. This is that. This is that. Inside your mess is a miracle. God's about to turn your mess into a miracle. Inside your trial is a tree. Come on the other side of your trial is fruit. Come on, somebody, wrapped up in your problem, there's a harvest that God wants to bring out of you. What is amazing about this single seed is inside this entire seed is a forest. Inside one single seed is an incredible harvest. If only we will allow God to plant us. And here's the thing. Sometimes we feel like we're being buried under everything that is going on in life. It's like, God, I can't take this. I'm being buried under the pressure. And God says, I'm not burying you. I'm planting you. I'm planting you for the harvest that I have. I'm just putting you somewhere to pull out what's inside of you. Your past doesn't limit your future. What you've done doesn't determine where God can take you, what you're going through right now. Well, Planet Shakers, God bless you for another week. We pray that this message has encouraged you. Maybe it's challenged you. More than anything, we pray that it has helped you to encounter God, God's will for your life, God's word for your life, God's presence today. Hey, do us a favor. We would love to stay in touch with you. Of course, you can keep tuning into these podcasts as well. Check us out, planetshakers.com. You can follow us on social media, and we've got brand new music out. You can find that on all the digital platforms. We believe it's going to bless you. Have the greatest week. We'll see you soon.